Well, good morning, everybody here at Christ Church. Welcome, and thank you guys for joining in with us. Here's a couple things I want you to do. Make sure you get your coffee ready, but also don't forget, if you're watching with us, share this experience. We believe that one share can be somebody else's blessing. Share this experience. We believe that something can happen in somebody's life. Let's do one share. Hey guys, I want to get you excited. Before I jump into the message, if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out, we're going to Psalm 25. We're going to be starting a brand new series for the next several weeks. And then this series is going to be talking and wrapped around prayer. Now, I know you're probably got your whole prayer life perfect because Chet's your pastor. I get it. But I don't know about you, but I need to elevate my prayer life. Speaking of prayer, it's a very special week coming up this week. And that is, maybe you've heard about it, it's the week of prayer. Now, I don't know about you. Listen, good things, special things happen during the week of prayer. It reminds me a few years ago, during the week of prayer, my wife and I were on our knees praying desperately to God. I had our lead pastor there with me. His wife was there with me. The elders, they prayed over us. We were praying for a baby boy. And guess what? That little stinker is running around my house with a full diaper. I can't sleep. But guess what? Things happen when we pray. You know, the Lord tells us this, where two or three gathered, there I am. So I want to personally invite you to join in with us for the week of prayer. It's going to be a very special week. There's going to be available times and days on our website, or on our Facebook page, Instagram. Go ahead and check it out. We're going to take care of you and go from there. Well, today I want to talk about prayer, or what does it look like to pray when we feel stuck. Hey, put it in the chat. How many of us have just felt stuck these last few months, or maybe the year and a half? Right? You just feel stuck, or really you can define it as you're at a crossroads, right? And whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation may look like, only you know, you feel a little desperate. Maybe some of you are stuck because your relationships aren't going the way that you desire them to go. Your relationships with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your family, your friends, maybe things are just going downhill. Maybe we're at a state where we are experiencing a crisis in our own personal lives. Some of us, if not all of us, are dealing with some type of addiction, right? Some type of addiction, and it's starting to destroy and to deteriorate at our souls and eat away at us more and more and more. And we just feel stuck. Maybe you feel stuck because of your financial situation. Listen, finances have been hard on us since COVID has hit. I know you guys don't like me using that word, but since that one thing happened about a year and a half ago, life has just been hard on us, especially when it comes to our finances. And maybe you're like me. Whenever you get yourself in those situations, maybe you're like me. Maybe you're the type of person that panics. Last night, actually, it's interesting. My wife and I was in the basement. I was working on my message. I had my office set up in our basement. And as I was working on it, I noticed in the corner this huge puddle of water in my basement. In church, I was panicking. I'm thinking our basement's about to overflow. I'm thinking it's just bad, and I'm just panicking, and I get to a point where I don't know what to do. My wife's like, well, clean it up, dummy. Don't just look at it. But sometimes that's what happens when we see things, and when things happen to us and we don't expect it, we panic. And so in this series, we want to talk about a better way to respond when we face the troubles of life. Truth of the matter is, friends, you and I are going to face some troubles. You're probably like, yeah, sure, duh. That's nothing of a shock to us. But it's not about us, you know, facing the troubles, but it's about us, how we respond to it in the midst of those things. And today, and for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about our best response is prayer. Now, to a lot of you, you're probably saying that's cliche. You know, I've heard that thousands and thousands of times. But here's the thing. As true as that may be, it's still a lost treasure in our lives. Prayer, if anything, it's what connects us to the heart of God. Because here's the thing, a lot of us will get caught up in just panicking and panicking more and more because we're at that place where we feel stuck. But what happens is prayer brings rest, but also it brings in God's presence that gives us a still and a hopeful heart. Prayer becomes effective when we have the right approach. And as I told you guys earlier, we're going to be looking at the Psalms, which the Psalms are nothing but full of prayers, prayers of David, prayers of Solomon, prayers of Moses, you name it, every person that's well known in the Old Testament, they had many moments of prayer because they had moments of troubled situations. They had moments where they felt stuck. And here's the one thing I want to encourage you as before we read into Psalm 25. I want to encourage you this. Life is going to knock us down. I know that doesn't sound encouraging. I know you're probably like, you're supposed to be the encouraging pastor, Javon. Like, you're like, what are you doing right now? But here's what I want you to know. Life may knock us down. That's the negative. But here's the positive. We don't have to stay down. We don't have to stay down, church. We don't have to stay in that position. We don't have to stay in that condition. Because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now. Your life can change just by the decisions that you make. Today, I want to talk about a psalm of how to pray when we feel stuck, and it's all about the decisions that we make. It's all about the things that we do today that, of course, shape tomorrow. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go to Psalm 25, and we're going to look at a psalm by a guy by the name of David. Now, if you've been around the church long enough, you probably have heard me say this. David is my guy. Now, don't get me wrong. It's all about Jesus. We're all about Jesus here. We point to Jesus. We worship Jesus. We honor him. But probably one of the guys I would say after Jesus that I love talking about is David. Why do you like talking about David so much, Javon? Because he always was panicking, but always searching God when he panicked. And also, most importantly, he knew how to respond in those moments. He knew how to respond. I'm not saying we need to be David, but man, there are principles that he shows us because David lived a long and successful and also has some tragic and unsuccessful moments in his life. But at the end of the day, he knew who to call on when things felt a little bit scary, when he felt stuck. You know, David, the guy that fought Goliath and took him down with just 5 stones. You know, the same David who was a shepherd boy who was in the wilderness. And as he's protecting the sheep, he's fighting lions and tigers and bears. He's the guy that eventually became the king of Israel. And he's reigning and ruling over millions of people, leading them to prosperity, leading them in the military sense, leading them in so many different ways. But he's a man that's just like us. He struggled. He struggled. Sure, I'm not a king, but I'm going to tell you right now, fear and anxiety has been king of my heart. Sure, I'm not David fighting tigers and lions and bears and all those things, but I have been fighting a lot of things inwardly. And so David gives us a glimpse of what it looks like to pray our way out of a place where we feel stuck. I want to look at Psalm 25, verses 1 to 5. I'm going to read all the verses, and then we're going to break it down. But I want you to know, David's going to help us to realize that to get out of the place where we feel stuck, it begins with the decisions and how we approach our prayer lives in those moments. Verse 1, it says it like this. To you, David starts off right off the bat. To you, Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, verse 2, my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies rejoice over me. Indeed, love verse 3, indeed, put it in the chat, indeed, this reminds me of Psalm 23, surely, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. I had to get my T.D. Jakes on, will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause, see, they're going to be ashamed. Pretty much David says, those who act dumb, it's going to end in shame for them. Verse 4 is really, really shifts. Make me know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths and lead me in truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day. I want to talk about five ways of how we can pray when we feel stuck. And these five ways are all centered around this idea of decisions. Again, decisions shape the trajectory of our lives. And there's this one thing God has given you is this will and the opportunity to make decisions. Believe me, he is truly and fully sovereign over all things. But God has given you the ability to make decisions. And David's going to talk to us about what it looks like to make decisions. Did you catch it in verse 1? Let's talk about the very first thing we need to decide. Number one, I want to say this. We need to decide to submit to something better. Let me say that one more time. We need to decide, point number one, to submit or surrender. I like that word. That's a stronger churchy word right there. To surrender to something better. You know, did you catch where David says, I lift up my soul? Now, obviously, the expression that he's giving here, that before he lifted it up, it was what? It was low. You know, before it went up, it was down. And David talks about, listen, this is where I currently was at. I was in a place where I felt so low. I was at a place where I was submitting and surrendering to the things that were eating away at my life. I was surrendering to the fear. I was surrendering to the insecurities. I was submitting to the brokenness. I was submitting to the addiction. And what happens is, friends, we have to be careful, because what we surrender to, it will eventually produce bad fruit in our lives. What we submit to, what we give into, will eventually produce bad fruit. And lo and behold, you live from a place where you feel crushed. And a lot of us have been walking around crushed. And your crush might be different than my crush, but let me tell you what my crush state looks like sometimes. I tend to blame people a lot. It's everybody else's fault. If they would just get it, if they would just change and listen to the almighty smart Jovan, things would be different. But I'm deciding to live from a place where I'm crushed and I'm submitting to the wrong things. And David says, we got to submit to something better. The trick is this, friends, you have to do it. Notice David says, I lift up my soul. Nobody did it for me, but I had to lift up my soul. I had to tell myself, get out of there, your moaning, get out of your complaining, get out of this place and lift yourself up. But you're not lifting it up just for the sake of lifting it up. You're lifting it up to the God of the universe, who personally knows you, who personally wants you, who personally walks with you. I'm not just lifting it up and giving it to the next person. I'm not just lifting it up and holding on to it myself. But if anything, I'm lifting up my anxieties to the Lord. I'm lifting up my fear to the Lord. I'm lifting up my insecurities to the Lord. I'm lifting up my failures to the Lord. And I'm telling him, to you, I trust. If you want to get better, church, you'll do this in your life. Because to get better, you got to want to get better. And to trust the Lord to lead you to better. If you're in this place where you are constantly crushed, I tell you by the name of Jesus Christ, lift yourself up. Get up. Stop staying in the state that you're in. Get up. I hear God saying to us today, get up. Stop staying in this place. I have more for you. I have better for you. If you will just see this in a different way. But it starts with you to submit to something better, and that's me. God is telling us today to get up. We're living from a place where we're low, but God says, I live high. God says, get up. Get up. Put that in the chat. Get up. I got to get up. God is giving you the will and the ability and the capability to get up. Say to yourself, I'm gonna stop feeling sorry for myself. I'm going to stop being a victim all the time. I'm going to stop doing all the, I'm just going to lift it all up to the Lord. I love that. Point number two, David says this. This is very important. Remember, we're talking about decisions. How we approach our prayers is all about our decisions. He says this. Point number two, decide to entrust yourself to God. Why? Because he is faithful. Watch this in verse 2 and 3. He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I love that. He's my God. I got a personal relationship with him. He's not a distant God. He's a God that wants me to be close. Because of Jesus, I can approach the throne of grace with boldness and confidence and receive the mercy when I need it in the times that I need it. He's a God that is close to me. He says, he's my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. I want you to hold on to that word shamed. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies rejoice over me. This word rejoice looking like triumph. David gives us a little bit of a glimpse of a context right here. One thing David was always going on in his life, he always had people coming after him. Sometimes it was just because people were ignorant, and sometimes because David was dumb. So some of the reasons why David was in some of his positions was because of his decisions. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to David when it comes to that. Sometimes I like to blame other people, and it's like, no, bro, if you would have just kept your mouth shut, if you would have just waited, if you would have just been calm, you wouldn't be in this predicament in the first place. But David's confidence comes out. Watch this in verse 3. Indeed, I love that word. Indeed, none who wait for you will be ashamed. This word ashamed isn't so much in a sense how we use it in our Americanized way. It's not so much of the Lord won't let us be embarrassed. It means this. It means this. The Lord will never let me down. Don't let me be ashamed. And then he moves into, he speaks faith into his circumstances. See, so many of us, we're speaking into our emotions. We're speaking into our feelings. But if we would just speak faith in truth, hey, at the end of the day, I'm stuck, but I won't be here forever. At the end of the day, I'm in a bad place and I don't like being here, but I have a God, my God, who will get me from where I am to where I need to be. David has this confidence. You know, there's been times in my life where I've lacked a lot of confidence. But I think the reason why I lack confidence, and maybe you could compare to me, again, let's just be sinners together. Maybe you could compare to me. My lack of confidence is because I try to find it in the wrong places. You know, I'm the type of guy, because the age that we're in, I try to find my confidence in what I wear. Thinking that if this looks good, everything's going to good. As long as people give me the thumbs up saying, you look nice, you look good, I like your haircut, I like your car, I like the way you live, and all these things, I try to place my confidence in. I try to place my confidence in my preaching. Listen, I know that God has given me a gift. I know God has given me the desire to do this. But sometimes I will live for the approval of others so I can boost up my confidence. But sometimes, friends, that's where life robs you the most, when you don't put your confidence in the right places. But David's confidence, his confidence isn't in anywhere but the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And David knows God is faithful because of God's reputation in his life. Here's what I want you to do for me today. Real quick, I didn't mean to do this in a sermon. I was kind of going to do it, but I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it, but you know what? I'm going to do it now. You feel stuck. Maybe it's true. Your marriage is at a point you're like, dude, I don't know what to do. You're at a point where your kids, they just will not listen to you. You're at a point where the money isn't coming in and everything is, yeah. But let's do this for a second. Let's do this before we get back into the message. Not saying this is not part of the message, but think of the time where God delivered for you before. I want you to think about that time. You've been walking with the Lord long enough. I want you to think about that time. And let me ask you, did he ever fail you? Did he ever fail you? There's a funny meme that goes on Instagram, and it's a cartoon picture of a teacher and a whiteboard, and the whiteboard is empty, right? And the teacher points to the whiteboard, but the caption says, "How many times has God has failed me? This is how many times God has failed me," and there's nothing on the whiteboard. And here's the thing, friends. The God that delivered and came through in past is the same God that's going to deliver and come through in the present. That's why David says, indeed, none who wait on you. David says, I've walked with God long enough to know this. This won't end the way that I'm thinking. This won't end with my enemies triumphing over me. Because here's the truth in this. We may experience defeat, but because of God, we will never, ever allow things to end in disappointment. He will never allow anything to end in disappointment. Friends, I want you to understand this. We're going to go through some seasons of where we're going to lose some things. We're going to have some troubled moments. And it's going to be hard. I never said that we won't experience disappointment, but God will never allow it to end in shame. Because here's the thing. God always leads us to victory. The cross is the greatest example for this. The cross. Look at Jesus. Darkness came over on Friday. He breathed his last breath. Soldiers and people of the crowd, his own disciples, his mother, watched as the Savior of the world took his last breath and gave his spirit up to his Father. And for 3 days, they thought it ended. But Sunday came around. And here's the truth, friends. He who did not spare up his own son, but delivered him for our sake, will he not give us all things as well? That's in your Bible that you're reading. It says this. God, in the midst of Christ's suffering for us, it led to victory. And friends, your victory comes in the name of Christ Jesus. Because the Bible tells us this. We are more than conquerors. We trust God with our destiny because in Christ, he always leads us to victory. There's a woman in our church a few years ago. I had to walk with her in a season where she lost her husband after 52 years. It was a tough, 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 tough thing. And maybe you've lost something. You know, this woman talked to me about how she has to get used to this new life that she has to live. She can't cook with her husband. She can't go on vacations anymore. She has to go to bed alone at night. And while her husband's death was coming near, she asked me this. She said, "Javon, will you pray for me?" And I did. And I prayed for her. But right in the middle of my prayer, she says, "I don't want you to pray for my husband to get better." I said, "Are you serious?" She says this, "Because at the end of the day, the Lord will be faithful to me." That struck me. She says, "If my husband dies, my husband lives, the Lord will always show me his glory." How beautiful is that, church? I want a faith like that. Because truth is, sometimes when we think God's going to be faithful, we think God's going to do what we want him to do. We think, okay, well, God's going to be faithful. That means God's going to do this. Well, friends, we got to open our hearts, as David has opened his heart, and say, indeed, at the end of the day, David doesn't tell God, "Well, I know you're going to do this, and I know you're going to do that, I know you're going to do this." He says, at the end of the day, "God, have your way. God, have your way." Point number three, we have to decide to be open to God's ways. He says it in verse 4. "Make me know your ways, O Lord." David is giving control all to God. "Let it be done according to your will." It doesn't make sense to me, but it always ends in glory at the end of the day. And for that woman, it didn't make sense. It crushed her. But here she was, open to God's purpose. I want us to open our hearts today and have a faith like David in the example that I gave you, that we would tell ourselves, God, have your way. It's your will. It's what you want. I know this, though, God. Whatever you want ends up for my good. Whatever you want turns out for my benefit. It's for your glory. And if you get your glory, and if I stay in Christ, and if I remain in Christ, it has to end for my good. But God, you have to have your way. You have to do what you need to do. And that takes a lot of maturity and a lot of faith. But here's the truth. It takes humility. And here's what I want you to know. Humility leads to glory. Our humility leads to God's glory. Christ humbled himself. And because of his humility, his Father exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus is Lord. And Paul says, be of the same attitude as that. Humble yourself. Humble ourselves and say, God, this is what you got to do. This is what you want. Number one, we got to decide to submit to something better. Number two, we have to decide to entrust ourselves to God, for he is faithful. And we have to be able to speak faith into our circumstances. I'm not saying the name and the claim of prosperity gospel here. I'm not doing that. But what I am saying is this: you remind God how faithful he is. Because the scriptures are true. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Number three, decide to be open to God's ways. Throw out your playbook. And say, God, have your way. Point number five, and David ends very, very powerful. I love how David says, teach me and lead me to your paths and to your truths. I need to pray that prayer too. I need to pray the prayer, God, don't just fix my circumstances, but God, change my character. Because how many of us know it's the moments of trouble, like David's in, like you're in, it's the moments of hardship where we often lose our way, right? It's where addiction picks up. It's where bitterness picks up. It's where anger begins to pick up. But David says this, as you have your way in my life, have your way in my heart. Shape my heart so it can look more like you. Don't allow my circumstances to push me into an area where it's beginning to form me and really damage me at the end of the day. Allow me to be open to what you want me to do. He says, lead me into the truth. Teach me. I love how he uses the word teach. That means, God, you are the instructor, I'm the student. God, you are the master, I'm your servant. Today, I want you to show me what it looks like to be a better husband. Let me open up the pages of scripture and let me see our Lord and Savior in his example and in what he says. Let me look at the epistles and let me look at some of the writings of Paul. Let me look at the Old Testament. Let me look at these things and allow your spirit to be at work in me. Help me to be a better spouse. Help me to be a better father. Help me to be the person you have called me to be. Because what happens is when life gets to a place where you feel pressured and stuck, it leads me down the wrong paths, but when I stick to you, you lead me to paths of righteousness. And it's for your name's sake. So would you do that in my heart? Would you do that in my life? Take the time. Don't just pray for your circumstances. That's good. But also pray for your character. Pray for your character. Because what good is it if God delivers you out of a situation, but he doesn't deliver you out of the hate that's on your heart? Out of the envy, out of the lust, out of all those things. What would it look like if God gave you it, but you didn't have a heart that was ready for it? Oh, that stung. I didn't mean to say that. I really did it. I'm so sorry. You can turn it off. You can go to listen to Main Campus. Chet's over there. You can listen to that. But sometimes I have to ask myself, God, before you deliver me out of the situation, deliver me out of what's in my heart. David said, shape my heart. Point number five, I got off track, I'm sorry. Point number five, he says, I'm going to decide to be patient with perseverance. Notice in the in these five verses, in verse 3, right? And also, he says it in verse 5, that, Lord, I am willing to wait on you. Now, when we say the word wait around these times, around these parts, it's like saying a cuss word. Because you like me, we love our Uber blessings. Amazon blessings, we'll have it all day long. I was on Amazon yesterday, got me a few things. It will be here tomorrow. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I mean, that came down in a quick second. But David says, because you're faithful, because you know what's best, because I know that you're going to lead me into your glory, you're worth the wait. God is worth the wait. Say that to yourself today. God, you are worth the wait. And waiting in the biblical sense is two ways. Because when we think of waiting, we think of like waiting in the doctor's office, right? When you're waiting to be seen, you're waiting in Giant Eagle. When they got one register open, even though there's 75 people waiting in that register, it's like, bro, open up the other 15 registers that you got. I'm sorry, I'm venting. But anyway, just imagine, just, yeah, it's that type of waiting. It's a waiting where you're still, right? You're still. You're just saying, okay, God, your timing is better than anything else. I want it to be now, but you determine when it happens. But also, this is a waiting, not just in stillness, but a waiting in service. This is very important right here. This is something we have to get today. Because sometimes we say, well, I just got to wait on God, and then we just go back doing the same old things. No, no, no. I'm waiting with God and I'm waiting with hope. And guess what? I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving him today. I'm involved in a life group. I'm involved in children's ministry. I'm there on Sunday morning. I'm saying hi to people as they walk in. I'm saying goodbye to people as they walk out. I'm not just waiting on God to do something. I'm going to serve him so that the light of Jesus can shine through me. So many times, how many times, I would say, have we been in situations where we've been waiting on God and we just think it's just sitting doing this? We just tapping our foot like, all right, well, day one went past. Let me just, no. I'm waiting, but I'm also serving. I'm also involved. I'm in the crux. I'm in the nooks. I'm doing the things God wants me to do. Because guess what? God can use empty vessels. God can use empty vessels because he's always going to pour out his grace. And guess what? My cup overflows. I'm sorry. I know I'm quoting Psalm 23 a lot. You're probably like, that's Psalm 23. I get it. But I've just been planted in that. And I've been planted in that truth. But David says, God, I'm going to wait. Because the scriptures proves true. Scriptures say this. Blessed is he, or blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Watch this. Once they have stood the test, once they have stood the trial, listen to this, they will receive a crown because they believed and they trusted in the Lord. God crowns us for our waiting. So that means this, a waiting season is never a wasted season. Never a wasted season. God's going to use that season to grow me, to mature me, to lift me up, but God will crown me in the midst of that. So let's talk about the five decisions we see here. I know I've been taking a half of your time. I'm sorry about that. But let's talk about the five. Number one, decide to submit to something better. Number two, decide to entrust yourself to God, for he is faithful. Number three, decide to be open to God's ways. Number four, decide to let God shape your heart. Have a desire to pray this. God, don't just change my situation, but Lord, change me. Number five, I just said it. Decide to be patient with perseverance. Here's my last point. Decide to join a life group. Decide to join a life group. It's in moments like this that when life's pressing on every side, we feel lonely. And we feel stuck. And sometimes God will bring people in our life that always remind us there's a way out, to get up. We need people to cheer us on. We need godly people to remind us who we are and what we're not. We need godly people to speak truth into our lives, to speak the word into our lives, to decide to join a life group. But also, here's another decision I want you to make to you. Decide to come to the week of prayer. We've been talking about, I know we don't like this word, fellowship, but it's important. Remember, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered, and there I am. In their midst, there I am. Decide to come to the week of prayer. There's much availability for you. And pray these prayers. God, help me to submit to something better. God, I trust you because you're faithful. And you showed yourself faithful in the past. You're going to show yourself faithful even now. Because you don't run out of faithfulness. You don't run out of faithfulness. Your faithfulness overflows. Point number three, God, I'm open to your ways. I know it's going to lead to victory, but you have to decide what that looks like. Point number four, decide to allow God to shape your heart. Five, decide to wait with patience and perseverance. Join us in a week of prayer. Join a life group. God will abundantly bless us in moments like that. Let me say a prayer. Father, I thank you today. Father, I feel stuck. I feel stuck because of someone else's actions, but also sometimes I feel stuck because of my own actions. And it's left me in a place of desperation. I feel that I have no way out. I complain and blame everyone. I'm always self-sabotaging. But God, I want to be like David. And I lift my spirit up. I get up. I get out of the depression. I get out of the anxiety. I get out of the insecurity, the fear, the failure. I get out of it. And I lift my soul to you. And the reason why I do that, as David says, because you are worthy of our trust. You're faithful, God. You're faithful. You were with me in the past when I should have been dead. You intervened. And guess what? The God who did it then is the God who will do it again. So I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. But I'm going to trust in you with an open hand. Oh, God, thank you. I'm going to trust in you with an open hand that says, it's your way, not mine. I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus in the garden as he's in anguish and drops of blood are coming from his head. And he's saying, Father, take this cup from me, but let not my will, but your will. I'm going to be that example in my prayer. God, I'm open to your ways. God, I'm open to you to shape my heart too. Because God, it's moments like the pressure ones, the moments where we feel stuck, where we get lost. And Lord, by your staff and by your rod, help me to stay the course. I persevere with patience. I persevere with patience because you're worth the wait. I love you. In Jesus' perfect name, amen, amen, and amen. May the Lord be with you.